thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about ASEAN's ability to resolve the crisis in Myanmar ahead of the bloc's special leaders meeting tomorrow. Michael Vatikiotis is the Asia Director for the Center of Humanitarian Dialogue, which is a private diplomacy organization. He's also the author of Blood and Silk, Power and Conflict in Modern Southeast Asia. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Now, with the coup, have we returned to a time before the democratic opening of Myanmar? And can the role that ASEAN played then be reprised now? Or do you think that the conditions have changed so fundamentally that ASEAN needs a new playbook?
Well, I think what's changed, Melissa, is that the way in which we look at these events in sort of real time has actually brought everything into the front rooms, to the meeting rooms, to the halls of government in a much more vivid way, which has made, I think, the current events in Myanmar much more urgent, at least for governments. So I think in the past, governments were able to sort of look at these events with a little bit more perspective. But now that's no longer possible. They have constituencies that are demanding action. There is social media on a daily or hourly or minute-by-minute basis that's bringing disturbing, distressing scenes into everyone's lives. And so really the urgency to do something, the compulsion to do something is very much there now compared in the past.
Michael, what are the real options before ASEAN in dealing with this situation?
Well, I think we really have, there's a lot of, ASEAN is a very convenient punch bag because people always say it can't do anything, it needs to act, it has a charter, it doesn't live up to. I mean, let's put it in perspective. ASEAN for 50 years, more than 50 years, has essentially kept the peace between the countries of Southeast Asia, and that's what it was designed to do. It was designed essentially to prevent interstate conflict, and it's done that job. It was never really designed to address issues within countries, within member states. When the ASEAN Charter was framed a few years ago, that came up. And of course, the whole notion of shared values, of human rights, of the need to act in the interests of people rather than states became much more, at least, considered. There was a real test a few years ago, back in 2007, 2008, when Myanmar, there was a round of violence in Myanmar, and similarly, there were demands for actions, and action wasn't really taken. I think this time, the pressure on ASEAN member states and the leaders is immense to actually do something. Because their credibility is on the line, not so much as ASEAN as an organization, but all the countries and their constituencies, their people, who are, I think, much more demanding now of action. So, and I think that's why we're likely to see perhaps some action taken tomorrow at the summit.
What kind of action do you reckon might be taken, Michael? Because we just spoke to Debbie Stoddard a couple of minutes ago, and she is saying that ASEAN needs to be far more forceful, really needs to step in with resolve. She even suggested, that suspending Myanmar's membership from the bloc should be on the table. What do you think would be a likely outcome, a realistic outcome from the leaders' meeting tomorrow?
Well, I think suspending Myanmar is not going to achieve anything other than isolating it further. I mean, what's needed is engagement and intervention of some kind. And I think what will be discussed tomorrow are two possible plans. One is a plan for humanitarian intervention. Obviously, the humanitarian needs, the human security issues in Myanmar are enormous and are mounting daily. And I think it's felt by some member states that one entry point to the country would be to propose humanitarian assistance. The other plan is somewhat more sedate, sort of classic high diplomacy, which is, let's form a group of friends, let's have a special envoy, to sort of try and talk to the army in Myanmar and try to bring the stakeholders together. A combination of two is probably what is needed. A combination of a humanitarian action plan, one that essentially uses the humanitarian space to actually gain access to the country so that other conversations can be had about ending violence, about promoting dialogue and finding a solution. And also a special envoy. That could be the Secretary General himself. It could be someone that the ASEAN leaders appoint, someone to work the diplomacy full time to gain that access to the country and start to talk to all the stakeholders.
Michael, do you think the key is what is in the mind of the military at the moment of Min Online? There is some debate about when this coup was hatched, whether the military had decided in 2015 to give up on democracy, or was it just because they had failed in November last year to win popular support through an election, and that had somehow disappointed them, and they decided to roll back the democratic project. How do you see this? Is it regime type? Is it one man's ambition or an institution's insecurities?
You know, I really think it's hard to speculate on exactly what happened. I mean, we can guess that there was an initial argument over the election itself that then escalated with lack of compromise on both sides, the failure to negotiate a way out, and then ultimately a coup d'etat. And that's ultimately driven the army towards the need to completely try at all costs to gain mastery over the population. There's no turning the military. That's why we've seen levels of violence that are, you know, obviously unacceptable and brutal, but there really is no choice for them. They have to move forward. Otherwise, they would lose everything. And so I think the story is not yet written of exactly what happened. I think that's something that will have to happen later on. For the time being, we need to focus on de-escalation. We need to focus on helping the country pull back from the brink of state failure. We need to find an off-ramp for the military. We find a win-win situation for all sides so that, you know, that somehow a negotiated solution can be found.
Lastly, which international players do you think, Michael, will be the most have the most heft in the current situation, and what do you think they want to see the scenario play out?
Well, let's be clear. I think, you know, China, the US, all the major powers, for the time being, are relying on the regional states, in particular on ASEAN, to find a way. I think the next line of offense, if you like, would be if ASEAN fails to hatch a plan or appoint an envoy tomorrow, and there's no consensus. I think it'll be left to a subset of ASEAN member states, perhaps Malaysia, Indonesia, Brunei, perhaps Singapore, core states, perhaps Thailand as well, who will then, as a subset of ASEAN, try themselves to launch some kind of diplomatic initiative. If that fails, then I think it'll fall to individual statesmen in the region to try themselves. But I think we're still very much in the situation where the region has to try first before other powers are willing to be involved.
Michael, thank you for speaking with us tonight. Appreciate your time. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But before we leave you, a quick reminder, don't forget to get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines at astroawani.com and the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the week.
We'll be back with you same time on Monday. Till then, have a great weekend, folks.